When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Acknowledge me!
Chris Russell on the Team 980.
I'm not trying to be a jerk! Alright, it is a Throwdown Thursday, and off and running we go, baby. As usual, it is... it's always interesting in here. Hopefully, it'll be interesting on the radio. Over the next 3 hours, Linnell is back with us. He hasn't killed me yet. Neither have any of you.
It's a good show yesterday, man.
Well, Matt,
you're next, as Bill Goldberg
would
say.
You're next. I heard you chopping it up with D-Day about some wrestling. You're talking about Kevin Owens using the Stone Cold Stunner and all that?
For someone that consistently complains about people not having their real name being used, you sure do love throwing around a nickname.
What do you, what, D-Day? I mean.
His name's Denton, as Chris Russell would say.
Oh, okay.
Forgot it's Thursday. You get into this ridiculous mood.
Your
actions yesterday, though, and the way that you acted and how nitpicky you were. And I saw you and Chris and Hyattsville.
Yeah, Chris and Hyattsville, right.
A little spat back and forth. I had a ball.
Yeah, it's funny because nobody else that listened actually agreed with you and thought I was wrong.
A lot of the comments on social media, at NELL_BT, yeah. I mean, they were in the favor of the YIC, and I had to explain why I am the YIC to a caller yesterday. I think, was it Dontrell? I don't know who it was.
I think so. Maybe.
I also had to... calm Scrap down. Scrap was ready to, you know.
Scrap was mad at me?
He was mad at me for being so upset with you.
Oh, okay. Well, Scrap is absolutely correct. You know, if you go back and actually listen on the podcast, and of course it's all there for you, for you to see. Maddie's got it all carved up, dialed up, and available for you on the Odyssey app, or at the team980.com. You will see how correct I was, and I got further information later on in the day. As you were doing your 14th show of the day, I got further information, which again separated the Commanders from being average.
Chris, this is the stupidest when we stat look at that you've ever tried to use, because you know why their point differential is the way that it is. Because they beat that living hell out of some bad teams.
Yes, understood.
What does that have to do with them
Chris. It shows a level of not just surviving and skating by mediocre or bad teams. That's what it does. As I tried to point out to you yesterday, if you're going to use the notion that they haven't beaten a great team, which I can't dispute, right?
Use the notion like it's not factual information.
Again, it just depends on your perspective. At the time, the Bears were red hot. At the time, the Arizona Cardinals were just 1-2, but they had gone toe-to-toe with the Detroit Lions, and they should have beaten Buffalo in Buffalo week one, okay? Anyway, my point is, it's a notion. Well, the same can be true for, again, a statistic that comes up where a point differential is fifth in the NFC, granted, behind Detroit, Philadelphia, Minnesota, Green Bay, and slightly ahead of Tampa. And I would say this, again, it just shows that along with a 9-5 record, that they're not average, in my opinion, and I think in most reasonable opinions. You obviously disagree. That's fine. I just wish I would have had that data. I wish I would have thought about that data before. And you're right. Some of those wins were blowout wins against bad teams. Cleveland, Carolina, so on, and Tennessee. I got it. I understand that. There's, again, as we always point out, context and nuance to everything. It just kind of depends on what side that you're on. But either way, we're not talking about that today. No. We're talking about this. What will a win against the Philadelphia Eagles say to the rest of the NFL world? And by contrast, what will a loss, which you fully expect, I'm not sure if they can win, but I'm much more optimistic that they can find a way to win this game. What will a win say, and what will a loss say to the rest of the NFL world, whether that be Commanders fans, whether that be NFL media, NFL fans in general? Let's start with a loss, because that is what most people are expecting. What would a loss say?
Depends on how they lose, honestly. Context. Nuance. If they go out and lose by 3 scores.
Get blown out.
Says you are who I think you are. Okay. And that is nothing more than an average football team.
Okay. They would be 9-6 at that point. Obviously wouldn't have clinched a playoff spot, which there are scenarios that exist. Now they need some help. And they need to win. But if they're 9-6 and they get blown out, you know what? I still wouldn't agree with you that they're an average team, but that would be very, very, very disappointing to me. Very disappointing.
I don't know how disappointed I would be, because I know the talent discrepancy exists. I'll be honest with you, though. And all of you out there that claim I waffle, this is going to fall right into your lap. After hearing Cliff Kingsbury at the podium, I feel a lot more confident about Washington's chances.
Oh, you're a press conference guy. You're just like everyone else in the media around here. You just like salivate. You just lap it up like a thirsty dog. What Joe Witt says.
I didn't agree.
And then you just hammer Joe Witt in the defense every chance you get.
I actually did not agree with Joe Witt's evaluation of the defense totally. I thought he was mostly on base. But with Cliff, I think he provided context that I think was, I don't want to say it was missing, but I don't know how much we've harped on it. I know you've mentioned it and used it in their defense. Short week last time you had to play Philadelphia, mm-hmm. and I don't remember him saying it immediately following the Philadelphia game, but he said it today. First time on a short week this year, they overinstalled, and he said he thought that they executed the game plan tentatively. Mm-hmm. And I know, and you all should know what that means. When you're not confident in what you're running, you're not going to play at 100 miles an hour. You're not going. Your likelihood of executing, I think, drops significantly. And I think that's a really good point. He also mentioned what we had talked about leading up to that game. And I now have some numbers to back this up. If I had a defensive player of the year vote right now, I may give it to Jalen Carter because of how well he is playing. I know T.J. Watt is got the sack numbers, and I know he should be considered the favorite. Jalen Carter has played the most defensive snaps in the National Football League this year at defensive tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been an absolute game wrecker. He wrecked that football game last time against Washington. I wonder, and Cliff talked about this, I wonder how they can better counter what they do. And Ben Standing, I believe, or either Ben Standing or David Harrison asked the question of, you know, Vic Fangio, they want to play a light box. They play some of the most light boxes in the NFL. I think they're number one in the NFL. Light boxes play Washington's third. How do you make them play you with the heavy box? Because I think that is what you're going to have to do to create some of these matchups on the perimeter with, I don't think you have many advantages, but I think Terry McLaurin's not going to have the type of contest he had on Thursday night. I fully expect
against Quinyon Mitchell.
No, I think they're going to move him around. I think they're going to get him the ball early and often, and that is going to supplement not having Ertz, not having Eckler, not having Brown. Feed Terry.
Right. Well, here's the problem, and this is what is majorly different from the first matchup. As inept as the offense was for much of that game, couldn't sustain third downs, third and longs, couldn't really run the ball effectively. The one thing they really did well was get Austin Eckler going in the screen game, and he's gone. And then late in the game, Zach Ertz was a factor, not just on the touchdown that gave them sort of some life, but he's gone. So they are really compromised unless somebody steps up that we're kind of not expecting, that we haven't seen step up just yet. And whether that's at tight end, and you talked about Cole Turner a lot yesterday, or whether that's somebody at receiver that steps up in lieu of Noah Brown, and also to help draw some of maybe that, if they play with a light box, meaning Philadelphia, that means they should be able to shade, bracket, what have you, Terry over the top. So if you can draw them out of that, and if you can get contributions from another receiver that they did not really get in that first Philadelphia game, then obviously that should open up some things for Terry as long as they're in sync.
But Chris, like, that's, and that goes back to the question.
Again, that's a lot of
how
shoulds.
How you feel after, if they lose, how do you feel if they win?
Yeah.
That's why I don't think they have a real shot of winning.
Like, all right.
They are very limited in what they have offensively now in this second matchup.
So before we get to that, though, you again, just stick on the question. Just on the loss part of it, it would, for you, it would say, on, this is what I expected, ha ha ha, this is what I've been preaching, they're an average, mediocre team who beat some bad teams who haven't beaten a good team. Is that fair, basically, a general summation?
I would make it a little more modest than what you did, obviously.
Okay.
If they lose, I don't look at it as a big deal because I expect them to lose.
Okay.
I think it's about how they perform in the game, obviously, right? If they get blown out, if they're not competitive, if they have the same issues that we had spoken about before. Well, here's the other thing. This is why I also think it depends on how they lose. We put a lot of stock into Marshawn Lattimore's addition to this defense and what it could potentially do. If we do not see that impact Sunday, if the heavy box that they're going to play Sunday does not work, I have to then look at, well, what is going to be the impact of Marshawn Lattimore?
Well, it also depends on how it plays out, because last week A.J. Brown went off and DeVonta Smith went off.
I think they're going to get back to their roots this
week. If DeVonta Smith goes off and A.J. Brown gets blanketed for the most part by Marshawn Lattimore, because they also played a heavier box, then I think you can look and say, all right, well, Mikey Sanders still struggled against a former recent top 10 wide receiver who has
the league in receiving yards a couple of years.
Right, right. Now, I don't think he's as explosive and as dominant as others do. That's me.
You're sleeping on old DeVonta Smith.
Yeah,
huh?
I mean, I think he's capable of it. I just don't think he's consistent in what he in what he does enough for me.
Does it have something to do with the New York Philly rivalry?
No,
or?
Certainly some of that has to do with A.J. Brown. Some of that has to do with Saquon Barkley this year. Some of that has to do with the inefficiency or the up and down play of Jalen Hurts. Some of that, quite honestly, has to do with Dallas Goedert, who's not playing in this game. So for you, I understand that you would almost feel validated in your premise that they are an average team who hasn't beaten anybody. If they lose by three, heartbreaking fashion, does that tell you anything? Because you've already alluded to it. If they lose by 3 points, heartbreak, maybe a game-winning walk-off field goal by Jake Elliott, who he himself has struggled, would you then say, but they lost? Would you then say, okay, you know what? They lost. They didn't find a way to win, but A, kudos to them, and B, they're better than I thought they were, which, again, I described as average. I'm asking you that. If they lose by three, walk-off fashion, say.
I mean, I think you'd have to feel better about it. But like I said, it just all depends. I look at the first meeting as they were relatively close. You know, based on the way that they played, now that wasn't walk-off field goal, so to speak, but it was not too far off from it.
Right.
Like, you were in that game for a majority of it, and you ended up losing.
The game unraveled after they went for it on fourth and two, and had a chance to take the
lead.
That's
what the NFL is, man. Yeah. Like, four or five plays determine a game.
I agree.
So,
and that's why I'm careful, I think, in labeling them with a broad brush. I mean, I understand this game could go one way or it could go it could go multiple ways. They could get blown out and lose by, let's just say, 21. And on Sunday night, Monday morning, what we're all going to be walking around saying, look, this has been a nice ride, but our fears were validated. Our fears were confirmed.
Well, a blowout loss, I mean, me and Devontae Smith have the same birthday. I didn't realize that. A blowout loss, though.
Congratulations.
A blowout, so when we played on, when they played on his birthday, it was my birthday, too. Anyway, a blowout loss.
That's awesome, man.
A blowout loss, I think, takes some of the wind out of the sails when it comes to them being prepared for Atlanta, which is the bigger of the two games, in my
opinion.
Sure, absolutely. I think you need to play well heading into Atlanta, and
It's weird that you would say, but I agree with you, that a conference game
is bigger than a division.
It is, but it's just the way things work out.
When it comes to your playoff livelihood, that's exactly what it
is. If they lose a close game to Philadelphia, again, maybe a heartbreaker, maybe it's just a close game, whatever. And I'm not talking about close game backdoor cover style where you score, you know, a late touchdown to make it look better. But just say close game, period. And they lose. I think that helps them in a way going into Atlanta because they would feel, all right, we went toe-to-toe, punch for punch with the Eagles again, maybe for even longer. Now we punched above our weight class, if you will. Now we have to get the job done. We have to figure out a way to get a job done against a lesser team and, oh, by the way, a rookie quarterback in game two of his NFL career.
Well, according to Brian Robinson, they're not punching above their weight class.
Well, we'll get to that. Yeah. We'll get to that. Okay. I mean, so ultimately, all right, I agree with you. I think there is a difference between getting blown out and losing a close one, but I'm curious because losing a close one, people would say, all right, yeah, moral victory or whatever people come up with or whatever. Well, they tried hard. They gave a good effort. They're just short. Obviously, it's year one of the rebuild. They still have a lot more to add to this roster. I think that will be the narrative, right?
Yeah.
That being said, if they were to somehow win, however they win, and I mean, that could be by, again, 1 point, as it was last Sunday in New Orleans. That could be winning ugly. That could be somehow winning pretty, or what people would determine as being pretty. What kind of message would that send if they beat the Eagles and end their 10-game winning streak? And do you care about what message it sends?
I mean, it would give a certain vote of confidence that it would restore some confidence within me about their ability to win in the postseason. A win would be huge. I'm not going to underscore what a win would do. I just don't know how likely a win is. But I had Grant on last night, and he asked me this question, and I think it's fair to bring to the table here. What's more likely, them losing by two touchdowns or them winning the game?
It's more likely, in my opinion, that they lose by two touchdowns.
Wow.
See, more likely.
So that's interesting.
I don't believe that will happen. But if you're asking me one or the other, more likely lose by two touchdowns.
I think it's more likely that they win the game because we simply haven't seen them lose like that to anybody.
Oh, that's fair.
So that's where I would lean with it. And I know that's going to sound like, oh, waffling, oh, no, IHOP. But when you add context to it and you look at the way that they've played this year against the top-tier opponents, against the poor teams, their only real two-possession loss or blowout loss, so to speak, was week one against Tampa.
Yeah.
Where they lost
by 17? Because the Pittsburgh game was 1 point. The Dallas game was obviously, what was that, a deficit of 8 points, was it?
Seven.
And obviously, again, some wacky stuff happened in that game. The Philadelphia game, because they scored late after two Saquon Barkley touchdowns, and granted, the game was over for the most part. Again, because they scored late, it looked maybe a little bit better than ultimately it felt, but then you could also say, well, wait a second, for 52 minutes of that game, they were right there, and if they kicked the field goal instead of going for it on fourth and two from what was it, the 11 or the 12-yard line or whatever. And by the way, that's another part of the reason why I asked that question. I probably should have set it up a little bit better yesterday. Is I wonder if Dan Quinn thinks back to what happened in Philadelphia and says, you know what, I got to take the points, or I got to try and take the points. More than being aggressive. Again, we can revisit that. I think a win, for me, would not validate anything that I believe, because I don't think I'm going out on a limb saying they're an above-average to good team, maybe bordering on being a good team. I think that's what the numbers say they are. Granted, again, there's reasoning for that.
The eye test says something completely different.
Well, the eye test in the last 6 weeks says something different.
The eye test in the last 6-7 weeks says that this is a fading football.
That's fair. I agree with you. They're clearly not what they were early in the year. And the question outside of one game, Tennessee.
And that wasn't, and you know, everyone looks at the final score. That wasn't some 60-minute boat race. Like,
no. There was about a quarter where they had a little bit of a drop off after they went up 28-0. That's fair, but I mean, it was a dominant victory. I think a win, and we can take your calls on this at 301-230-0980. I think a win would send an emphatic message, because not only about the Commanders, but it would also say, hey, wait a second, maybe the Eagles are not as good as everybody thinks they are.
Now you're tripping.
Maybe the Eagles are not this juggernaut that can't be beat. We'll explore more on the other side. 301-230-0980. If you want to join in, go right ahead. 301-230-0980. If you want to send an X post, do so at WrestleMania621 or at @Nell_BTP on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Well, honestly, they know us. We know them. Just going based off of first time we played, you know, we just got to control all of the controllables on our end and play our best ball. That's literally all that matters, because, you know, based off the last game, you know, we shot ourselves in the foot, you know, multiple times. And no, we feel like we are the better team, and we just got to go play better, you know. And when we prepare, you know, obviously we're going to do what we do, you know, and we're going to attack them. We're going to go right at them, you know, and we just got to literally execute better than they execute. It's going to be one of those type of games. You know, we just got to be on top of our game from start to finish. We can't, you know, come out playing around with them. We just got to go out there and handle our business. I feel like if we come out and we do that, we will get the win.
All right, that's Commanders running back Brian Robinson Jr. on earlier this week with the Junks right here on the Team 980. I think that's Tuesday mornings at 9 a.m. is how you can listen to that. So we feel like we are the better team. Well, if they feel like they're the better team, then a win is not necessarily a statement win and should not necessarily say anything grand or over the top to the rest of the NFL world, right? Because if you feel you're the better team and then that gets proven on the field, well, maybe some others around the nation might go, oh, look at the Commanders. Or maybe we should be expecting, because of Jaden Daniels, and because they're 9-5, and because they're at home, and because people still think the Eagles, something is fishy going on with them, maybe people won't be surprised by a Washington win.
Daniel Jeremiah of the NFL Network picked Washington to win by 1 point.
Ooh.
So that's the only guy that's picked Washington to this point.
I got to get DJ on the show.
Don't get me started with that. Brian Robinson was wrong as hell. What was he supposed to say?
You think that was just player speak? Yes. And we often hear coach speak. That's player speak, right?
What is he supposed to say? Oh, yeah.
You know, if we do this right, if we take it to them, if we hit them with a hat on a hat and all that stuff. Sure.
Exactly.
But some part of – so you don't – am I catching the drift that you don't necessarily believe that he believes that they're the better team? Because to say we're a better team, we believe we're a better team. I understand where he's coming from. The problem is it's really hard to extrapolate where he's coming from and where and what they didn't do well enough on that Thursday night game. Even though you could, again, make an argument that for 52 minutes they were the better team. And they probably were. The problem is a game of 60 minutes.
I just have a hard time and under any within any context saying they're the better team. That's just not true in any shape or form. But the dude got a shot.
So you think Brian Robinson is delusional, or do you just think he is just saying what he's got to say?
That's what he's supposed to say. What
are you? Right, but he doesn't have to say we're a better team.
Yeah, I want
to
say.
I mean, nobody was putting a gun to his head saying we're the, you know, like EB didn't go.
Radio interview.
No, I'm just saying, like EB didn't say, "Are you the better team?" Like, you guys know you're the better team, right? He didn't bait him into that or anything like that.
It's not about being baited. It's how he feels. It's his confidence. He should feel that way, but he's wrong.
Well, why is he wrong?
Why is he wrong?
Yeah.
Come on, Chris.
I mean, just based on a one-game sample size?
It's based on the first 15 weeks of the season, Chris. 14 weeks of the season. The Eagles have been better than Washington in every shape or form.
I mean, they've been better,
yes. He said what he was supposed to say.
Yeah, they've been better, but when you're comparing two teams, athletes, you know this. You're an athlete, right? Or you were an athlete or whatever. You're going to sit there and say, well, wait a second. What they do against Cleveland and Carolina versus what we do doesn't really matter. It's what you do head-to-head. And so he's saying we were the better. I mean, in a nutshell, he's saying we're the better team for most of that game, head-to-head. Like, you're saying it's about what happened over the course of a season. Yes, they've won 10 in a row. Yes, they're 12-2, all of that. Yes, they blew out Pittsburgh, granted, without Pickens, and some things went sideways for Pittsburgh. But and we lost by 1 point. I guess my point is, when you say, well, what's happened all year? But from a Commander's perspective, they're going to sit there and say, one game, short week, on the road, we were the better team for 52 minutes.
Yeah, but they were out-physicaled and outclassed in that game, if we're being real about it. Like, Philadelphia and what they have up front, we cannot stop them consistently from running the football. It took two chunk Saquon Barkley runs to prove that. They're just more talented top to bottom than we are, and it's not even really a debate. I think the only area where we are significantly are better than them is at quarterback, which is an important position to be better at. But
yeah,
I think that's where Washington's advantage is. I don't fault Brian Robinson at all for what he said. He's supposed to say that. If he would have said anything else, I would have had a problem.
Okay.
Doesn't mean they're going to win. Doesn't mean he's right. That's what you're supposed to say, though.
What did you guys think of Brian Robinson saying, we think we're a better team? Is he crazy? Is it just player speak? Is it just something you got to say? What do you guys think, and what do you make of that? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. We will get to the rest of your calls coming up in just a wee little bit right here, right now. We do a trending alert. All right, we're brought to you by the Maryland Vehicle Theft Prevention Program. The Maryland Vehicle Theft Prevention Council, let me just say that again. Maryland drivers, did you know a vehicle is stolen every 16 minutes in the state of Maryland? The key to preventing theft is in your hands. Lock your car, take your key, use an anti-theft device. Learn more about vehicle theft prevention at mdautotheft.org. All right, so from the Commanders practice, Zach Ertz is wearing a non-contact jersey, but he was participating in the individuals and unit drills early on, so we will see where that goes. Zane Gonzalez back at practice after being excused from yesterday's practice, along with Greg Joseph, because of family reasons. And as well, from the Commanders practice, Sam Cosmi, according to Ben Standig, not participating during the open portion of the practice and apparently not even out on the field. He was a DNP yesterday with an illness, so apparently still sick. The Commanders take on the Philadelphia Eagles. Our pregame coverage begins at 9 a.m. right here on the Team 980 and goes throughout the day, including Doc Walker on your way home out of Northwest Stadium for the Eagles and the Commanders. Meanwhile, the Capitals will have another day off tonight. They will take on the Carolina Hurricanes after two straight road losses in Chicago and in Dallas. The Wizards are back home tonight, and they will take on the Charlotte Hornets. First of two meetings within the week of each other, both here in Washington. You can hear it here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Thursday night football coming up tonight in Week 16 action. It is the Denver Broncos and the L.A. Chargers. And you can hear that game and that coverage over on 106.7 The Fan beginning at 7:30. And that's what's trending. All right, 137, Team 980 on a Throwdown Thursday. So we've kind of established a couple of things already. Essentially, a loss, depending on whether it's a close loss or a blowout loss, would tell a couple of different stories. I think we both agree that a bad loss would be disappointing, even though it's against the Eagles, who are 12-2 and have won 10 in a row. I think a close loss, for me, would say, all right, that's kind of what I'm expecting. I don't sense that you think it's going to be a close loss. Then you asked me if it's more likely if they would lose by two touchdowns or win the game outright. Was that the question, right? And I said, you said it would. You said it was more likely that they would win, yes, than lose by two touchdowns, which generally means you think it's going to be a fairly close game.
Correct.
I said it was more likely that they would lose by two touchdowns than win outright, but I, again, I'm the one that's been saying for a week and a half, hey man, I think they have a chance, and you're the one that's been patronizing the Eagles like they're unbeatable. So we're all kind of, for lack of a better term, a little bit all over the place here, because every question, every theme, every situation is a little bit different. Again, I think a win would send a very loud message to a lot of people around the NFL, because a lot of people around the NFL, I think, are like you. They are hoodwinked into thinking that the Philadelphia Eagles are unbeatable and are this great green machine,
Chris,
that nothing is wrong and everything is perfect.
There is nothing wrong with the team, Chris. I'm like, you, the fact that you're feeding
I think there's some things that are wrong, yeah.
On the football field, no. Yeah. They've been quite impressive.
Jake Elliott has not been good.
They have been quite impressive for the past 10
years. There's a lot of dysfunction there.
It's dysfunction everywhere, Chris.
Not how much dysfunction is there here in Washington?
Some gets out, some doesn't.
Well, I mean, did you see the assistant defensive line coach in Nick Sirianni's face last week?
So you're saying there's been no sort of,
I don't know.
There's been no issue.
Nothing that's leaked out on camera that we've seen or that's leaked out in the media.
Because our media group has not made a big deal out of it.
Well, maybe.
Because we're in a different set of circumstances.
Also, because I think the building is different this year than it has been in years past. And I think everything is
drama this offseason. You had the quarterback sending out practice footage to an opposing team's wide receiver.
Well,
you had a parent of a safety patronizing the team and coaches on Twitter.
Yeah. No, there was some stuff.
Because there's stuff in every building. There's stuff in every building, Chris, is what I'm trying to say. So for you to
you're going to tell me that Derek Forrest's daddy, that Derek Forrest's daddy complaining on Twitter is the same as AJ Brown and Jalen Hurts, or no?
I am not at all saying it's the same. I'm saying it all falls in the category of what you're calling quote-unquote drama. And my point is there's drama in every NFL locker room.
Right, but you don't. So just to be clear, I just want to be clear.
It's not a big deal.
You don't
deal,
think
no.
Everything that's been going on with the Eagles in the last 2 weeks,
I pay no attention to it.
Involving some of the biggest names on the roster is no big deal.
I pay no attention to it because it's a football team that's 12-2.
Okay,
and it looks like the best team in football right
well,
now.
Well, I strongly disagree with you.
I can't believe that's the hill that you're going to choose to die on, trying talking down a 10-win football team or a 12-win football team that has been the class of the NFL.
What hill am I dying on? On, man.
You're
the,
trying to
the
say
star
that the
wide receiver called out the quarterback and it ignited a week-long mess.
He called out the quarterback or said that, you know,
he called out the quarterback.
Game. He said there's issues with the passing game.
Who's in charge of the passing game? Ultimately.
Some would say the offensive coordinator, wise guy.
But that would be somebody. They would be
you,
wrong.
That's you trying to buy into this media-driven narrative that there's something wrong in Philadelphia.
Right,
that's
right.
Nothing. Wasn't nothing wrong with Philadelphia when they went to Baltimore and whipped their ass.
Right.
Wasn't nothing wrong with Philadelphia when they beat the snot out of Pittsburgh last week.
Yeah.
But now there's something so wrong with Philly.
I mean,
get out of here, Chris.
So
there's nothing wrong with the Eagles.
So just look the other way, right? Just ignore it all and treat it just like Derek Forrest's daddy being upset. Right? Same thing. Nothing to see here. Okay. All right. Just want to make sure that we have that all on the record. Just want to make sure that we all understand how you process this. That
I don't see anything
that
wrong
a veteran
with
leader
Eagles,
has been in that locker room for 15 years, basically saying that there's a rift, there's problems.
You think Brandon Graham was going to say
that's not important? But what Linnell thinks that it happens in every building in every walk of life.
In every building.
There are problems within every locker
room.
Okay, just want to make sure.
Some are bigger than others. Some get, you know, made more public than others.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. So I think it's a big deal, or a bigger deal. Of course, they won against Pittsburgh. I got
of course,
it. I understand
you're damn right they won against
Pittsburgh. I understand
that. They've won their last 10 football games.
Doesn't
Chris, they're
mean,
a juggernaut right now,
that
man.
Doesn't mean that they're going to put it all together the next week either. That doesn't mean they're going to treat Washington the same way they treated Pittsburgh.
They have put it together every single week dating back to September 29th.
They've won those games. They haven't lost
since the opening month of the season, Chris.
No, you're right.
I think they are doing a pretty good job figuring it all out.
They've got a lot of talent
on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah, they've got a lot of talent to overcome.
Just a hunch, buddy.
Yeah, all right. I mean, again, you view it your way. I view it my way, and we'll see. I mean, maybe it won't manifest itself. Maybe it will. I don't know. I have no idea. All I know is there's a lot of hot button personalities on that team. Something that I have to deal with on a regular basis.
There were a lot in 2016 when they won the Super Bowl, and there were a lot of hot button personalities when they lost to Kansas City in the Super Bowl a couple years ago. That's every locker room.
Same exact situation, right?
No, but it's like that in every locker room, Chris. There are issues happen. Your brothers, your teammates.
Again.
There are rifts in the locker room here at Odyssey, D.C. What are you talking about? That's every locker
room
has rifts. That's what happens.
Yeah. And it can be problematic is the right word.
But does it stop the overall goal from being achieved? No.
Depends on how you look at it.
Go to break, Chris.
It depends on how you look at it.
Side note, I love telling you to go to break. It's like my drop mic button.
Yeah, it's really dumb.
Go to break, Chris.
But here's the deal. I think Philadelphia is in a more compromised position than most people, including yourself, on the outside are. So for me, if the Commanders win this game, say by 3 points, whatever. Like, I'm not going to be as shocked by this as I think everyone else. So to me, it would say this is validation. And, guys, this brotherhood thing and this Jaden Daniels thing and this changeover thing from the sorry old-ass Washington NFL franchise by any other name, that ain't a thing anymore. Oh, by the way, we're 10-5, and we just beat a team on a 10-game winning streak. So I think it's going to send a very loud message around the NFL community, around the NFL world. But I think inside that building, they do think like Brian Robinson does. They do think more like I'm trying to present, which is it should not be as big of a surprise. This is not a shocker if they go out and beat the Philadelphia Eagles.
I mean,
that's the way it sounds coming out, you know, the way you make it, like the Eagles are impenetrable. They can't be messed with.
I would split it up percentage wise 70-30.
Okay.
Doesn't mean if they win, I would be shocked. It's still a divisional game. There have been plenty of divisional upsets all year long and every single year. If they beat Philadelphia, like I continue to say, what it does for me is, you can play with legit contenders. Because they haven't proven that to this point.
But one game against Philadelphia
all it
at
takes
home
is once.
Automatically changes your perspective, right?
Chris, let me put it to you like this. When you have a baby, can the baby walk till the damn baby can walk? No.
No.
Okay, then. It's like with Washington. Can they beat a team with a winning record till they do it? No. So if they do it, you know what that proves to me? They are capable of doing it. They can't beat anybody. That's what it proved to me.
In a one-game sample size, right? Because that's all. I'm just asking, Chris. You're saying all year long the Philadelphia Eagles have been clearly better. So I'm just trying to make sure that I understand where
you're coming
from.
Washington hasn't beat a team with a winning record.
All right. So in a one game sample size at home, late in the year, off of a very unimpressive win, if the Washington Commanders beat the Philadelphia Eagles, it basically erases your entire narrative.
What?
Your entire narrative has been they have not beaten anybody good, and they are not anywhere near as good as the Eagles.
So in one game,
I'm just trying to ask. In one game, if they win, then that changes the story. That changes your perspective. That changes the narrative.
You're trying to paint this out as me being some waffling maniac. I keep trying to tell you people, when you get presented with new information, of course your opinion is going to change.
Okay.
What have I said all along? They haven't beat a team with a winning record. They haven't shown they're capable of doing it. If they do it Sunday, Chris, what would that mean? That they can beat a team?
It erases your narrative. Right. Okay.
No, Chris. It means they can beat a team with a winning record.
Okay. Let's get to... this should be fun. Let's get to Athens and Annapolis.
Oh, my God.
Double A, I need some help, man.
Well, here's the thing. You know... last week, it was Linnell said, show me, you know, tell me what they've done over 13 or 14 weeks that they could beat, you know, the Eagles. Okay, that's when we all got, or I got into it with them on the phone. And I understand they haven't beaten, you know, the Steelers or the Eagles or whatever, but they have proved they could play with them. Hence, I understand they didn't beat them, but they beat themselves against Pittsburgh with all the mishaps. They all, you know, had 52 minutes where they competed with the Eagles and then pulled away because the defense was on the field the entire game because we couldn't do anything. The way that I see them making a statement, I want to see Ben Sinnott come out and play well and them get him involved and be the, I think he's the third round pick that he shows he can be. But I want to see Brandon Coleman go out there and play better. He got his ass whipped the last game. You got Linus sitting there talking about Derek Forrest and all year and his daddy and just like it's his brother and everything and crying on Twitter. Well, Derek Forrest, go out there and make a play. Go out there and get an interception. Go out there and strip a ball, okay? They have been on a downward trajectory and the Eagles have been on an upward trajectory. However, the Eagles are very beatable. Even with their defense being as good as it is, there's something there where if something happens to Saquon and it's just I don't think they're as good as everybody makes them out to be, and they're the top maybe three or four in the league. They're a good team. I'm not saying they're not good, okay, but it's very possible for us to beat them on Sunday. To my point. Last week it was tell me what they've done all year, or show me they can beat a good team. Well, they're very capable, like I've said, of beating any team. They're a B player, and with a B player, you are going to get a mixed bag of results. And real quick, your caller yesterday, I think it was a guy in Laurel, I can't remember his name, but he brought up a really good point. He said, he just said that basically they're getting the most out of the talent they have. They have like average talent on this roster, but because of the quarterback play and other guys stepping up and veteran leadership, they have really overachieved this year. So this team is very capable of beating Philly. Philly's not as good as everybody's making them out to be, and I don't think they make it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, I got you. Thank you, Double A, as always. I would say this. What happens in a one-game sample size, for me, doesn't always change the complete story or the complete complexion of something. That's just me. That's how I operate. The Bills beating the Kansas City Chiefs head-to-head this year in Buffalo with all the injuries that the Chiefs had as well by 8 points or whatever doesn't make me think that the Bills are clearly better or definitively better than the Kansas City Chiefs. That's just me. That's how my brain operates. 301-230-0980. We'll get back to more of your calls on the other side. You got Linnell. You got me. You got a throwdown Thursday. You got Matt trying to play referee. And you guys in between all of that on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, we're going to get to the stadium-a-rama stuff between RFK and that whole mess and what's going on down at Capital One Arena, which Monumental Sports and Entertainment did a big shindig for this morning. And there's some images and some graphics and all that stuff. We'll get into all of that in the 2 o'clock hour and into the 3 o'clock hour. also, with the Eagles coming to town, riding a 10-game winning streak, again, everybody should understand that, yes, they have been, by any measurable standard, the better team this year. They beat Washington head-to-head. Ultimately, it was a close game for, you know, 52 minutes, and it got a little squirrely and it got away from Washington. Not good enough, but that's essentially what happened. The Eagles have won 10 in a row. They are the hottest team, obviously, in the NFL. They come to Washington. I'm kind of banking on, maybe this is a little optimistic approach, that you can't be that good for that long, and maybe if Washington steps up and rises up. One thing I wanted to ask you real quickly here before the top of the hour, and then we'll get to more calls on the other side as soon as we can. Is there, if I asked you for just one thing that the Commanders have to do in order to win more than any other, it is?
Win up front.
Are you talking offense and defense?
Both.
Offensive and defensive lines,
that's,
right?
That's where the game is won and lost. I'm not doing the cliche, but that's
I know this is going to surprise you. I actually agree with you. Because they can't get ambushed like they did at times last Sunday against a better team, both on offense and defense, and expect to win a game 20-19. That's just not going to be the way it works.
No.
And some of that is going to fall on... Now, listen, having Biadasz back is going to help. Jonathan Allen's not going to play this week. I mean, you'd feel a little bit better if he was going to play, and that's a problem, right? I mean, quite honestly, they could lose the game right there. Something that you talk about all the time is run gaps, fits, all that stuff. If Saquon Barkley just pops one, even if you do a good job on 24 other carries... On his 25th carry, if he pops a big one, which he did twice against Washington in the Thursday night game, it could be all over and it could look very different. So I guess for me, yes, it would start up front. But for me, the big picture message that I'm trying to look at is this team has to play more than 50 good minutes. Not great. They have to play more than 50 good minutes. I'm asking for 60 good minutes. And that's a lot to ask for. But, you know, I don't need great. I need good.
60 good minutes and they'll go to overtime just to screw you.
Okay. And you know what? Maybe that happens. But if you give me 60 good minutes instead of falling apart like they did largely on both sides of the ball in the second half last Sunday, like they did in the final 8 minutes in Philadelphia.
I just think they wear down.
And that's fair.
They wear down. They take their foot off the gas. And then the execution is just, it's hard, man. Like, what they're doing on offense, they have these lulls because it's hard to play perfect football all the time.
Sure.
For their offense to have success, like, they got to be perfect. They can't have penalties. They can't have negative plays. Like,
is perfection, though, you would agree, is too much to ask for, right? So that's why I said good.
It is. But, like, that's the formula that they play right now, is it not?
Well, because I wouldn't describe what I saw last week as good. On offense, you thought Jaden was great. I didn't think last week's performance was good enough.
I thought he made some really big time throws. Okay. And there were some throws where he held the football.
All right. I need you to be good longer and win the line of scrimmage battle on both sides. You're more focused on, again, just winning the line of scrimmage battle, which is fine. We're kind of in the same way. All right, we'll continue that discussion, Brian Robinson, and we'll get into the Stadium-O-Rama stuff coming up in the 2 o'clock hour right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Jay Paterno, son of Joe, and, of course, former Penn State, part of their coaching staff and recruiting staff, will join us on the college football playoff an hour from now. Stay with us on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.